Okay, Shalom Avrocha Rabbeisai. Tonight we are starting. Here's some Mishnah Berurahs on the table. Tonight we're starting on page 20, Siman Dalet, Seif Kaf Aleph. So just to recap what we've been talking about last week, we said there are certain times you have to wash three times, and there are certain times when you just have to clean your hands, and that is sufficient even just to wash them once. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Dalet, Sif Katan Lamed Tes, has told us that when it comes to waking up in the morning, then everybody says you have to wash your hands three times either hand, because that's to get rid of Ruach Ra'ah, to get rid of the spirit of negativity. He says that there are yesh machmirin, that there are those who are strict, and another two occasions that they also wash their hands three times, and that's if they've been near a dead body, or after tashmish. But other than that, seemingly one time is enough. Now he also brings a machlokes after a person has been to a toilet, whether they have to wash three times or not. And he brings that there are those who are machmir, but he brings the Mogen Avraham who says that you don't have to. Then the other times when a person does have to wash their hands just once, before they would daven or learn, includes cutting nails. Possibly, though the minhag does seem to be to wash three hands after cutting nails, but from the Mishnah Berurah here, it would seem to be that once is enough. Certainly, putting on shoes, touching one's feet, scratching one's head, and even if they are delousing themselves. So all of these things, they would only need to do it once. That's the halacha that is brought down here. So this is just a little review of some of the things that we saw last week. But moving on now to Siman Dalet, Sif Kaf Aleph. Tzorach lizoher b'tfila oy ba'achilo. V'ayin lekamon, Siman Tzadibay, Sivov, v'Siman Kaf Skuf Samach Dalet. Shloi liga b'shoik v'yoreich, u'bamakaymais hamachusim ba'odom. That a person has to be careful when they're davening or when they're eating, that they shouldn't touch any of the places which are normally covered, which a person normally has clothes over. For example, he says, the thigh or the upper leg. Because in those covered places, a person was very could be very schwitzy, they may have perspired, and they may have milmulei zeo. What does that mean? Milmulei zeo perish. Zuamo. It's a sweat, ke'ena so'ayrim katanim, like little pieces of barley. So I don't know if any of you have that, but certainly if a person would have gone for extended periods of time without having taken a shower or the like, then they could have this sort of tangible sweat pellets. And similarly, when a person, so far we've said, when he's davening or eating, not only should he not touch the places that are normally covered, but he shouldn't scratch his head. But the places that are not covered on a person's head, and we'll discuss which ones these are, or if you just touch your face, or on the parts of a person's arms that are not covered, you don't need to worry. So what have we seen over here? That not just for davening, but also when a person's eating, they should not touch sweaty parts of their body. But if it's a part of their body which is normally revealed, then he says, Ein lahakpid, you don't need to worry. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Says the Mishnah Berurah in a memetes. It's a filler. When a person is davening or they're learning, they have to be careful not to touch these places. If a person, they're in the middle of davening and they realize that underneath their kappel they had a tremendous itch and they scratched underneath their kappel, or they put their hand inside their shirt to scratch a place which is normally covered. So there, because they're in the middle of tefillah, It's enough if they just clean them, their hands by rubbing it in some sand or clean earth, or they just rub it against the wall, and we'll see later also against a garment. What's he going to do? He's in the middle of davening. But if you haven't, you're not in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei yet, but you're in the middle of the Shema or the Pesukei Dezimra, then a person should go outside and they should wash their hands. Because when a person has touched these places, which are normally covered, they're supposed to wash their hands before they actually daven. Nun Aleph, v'simen kuf samach dal, the Shom Nispar, shim ovar v'noga b'toich ha-suda, tzorech little yodav shenis kadin, that if a person was in the middle of their meal, there's a discussion that it might be also a degree of sakono, because he's not making any more brachos right now. He's in the middle of his meal, and he touches one of these places where he perspires. So then it says that he has to do netilas yodaim again. But the mainstream opinion is not to make another bracha. Ayin shom b'mishnah berurah. Because the worry is milmulei zeo, these sort of sweat pellets. Zayin biyoridea simon kuf yud vav. The tzorach lizor mizeo. The cold zeo somehow moves chutz mizeo saponim. Because sweat is something which is toxic, which is considered over here a type of poison, except for perspiration on a person's head. The similar dovor, because it says bezeo sapecho toich alochem, by the sweat of your brow you'll eat bread. So therefore, you see, you're allowed to eat bread, even though there's sweat on your brow, even though there's facial perspiration. That would be okay. Ubaponov, if it was on his face, v'chem b'tzavori atachoze, and so to his neck until the chest, v'chein im hoylech. So if a kosu machs a shekel, does that tell if you minagamakainis, depending on the place of how low the top button is, right? Or you know, whether this is an exposed place or a concealed place. Shebizroyosov ataperakanekra Ellenbogen. The covered places are considered to be over here generally until the elbows. If a person is in a society where they walk barefoot and they touch their feet, maybe they don't need to wash their hands because that's considered an open place, not a concealed place, because this is something in those societies where they go with their feet uncovered. So there's some very interesting points over here. Firstly, if a person scratches their heads, it comes out that if a person has scratched their heads, then they do need to wash their hands before they continue. What part, if they touch a cup? So that's if you scratch your head. What if you touch a part of your hair? You touch it. Is that also considered problematic? So it seems as though that if it is a covered schwitzy place, so then that's considered touching a covered place. And he brings over here at the back on page 3 in the Miluim, footnote 62, he says a place which is covered when it comes to the head, he brings the Shevet Halevi, Ravozna Zatzal, that anything which is normally under your hat is considered a covered place. But outside of that, if it's just, you know, the lower hair, it's considered a mokum goloi, a revealed place, because there is no great schwitz over there. Va'afim chichich b'shor she ha'sa'oreis, he says that if you'd scratch even, let's say, the bottom of your hair at the back, then you wouldn't need to wash your hands. But then he says, but if you haven't washed for a few days, so then you definitely would have to wash your hands after touching that. But then he brings Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who argues, and he says shamachachich b'chol mokom b'seya haroish tzorach netila, that anybody who scratches any part of the hair on their head, they need to do to wash their hands afterwards. So hayoytzi midvareinu from this is if that you're scratching part of your head which is generally not covered by but it's generally a part of the hair which is uncovered, and you scratch that. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky says you should wash your hands before you would make a bracha or anything. Whereas The Shevet HaLevi would say only if it's something which is normally the covered part of your head. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here says that if it's up to your elbows, he says up to the Ellenbogen, which one can only imagine means the elbows over here. So that is considered a revealed part, and therefore you don't have to wash your hands after touching that. What about higher than that? Seemingly it would be problematic. But what about when you're putting your tefillin on? If you put your tefillin on, do you have to wash your hands after having put your tefillin on because it's above the elbow? So there are a few approaches over here. The Salmas Chaim, which is Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in Simon Lamates, he says that since when you're putting your tefillin on, you're doing it for a mitzvah, so he says for that reason, you don't need to wash your hands after having put your tefillin on, even if you touch above the elbow, because he says that is, you're doing that for the sake of a mitzvah, but he says, Hamachmir tovei olav brocha. In Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Dalet, Simu Kufyo Dalet, he says that he saw that the Zikne Yerushalayim, they did not wash their hands when they're putting their tefillin on. And it's mashma, again, for the same reason, because they're doing it letzorech mitzvah. There's a Ben Ish Chai on Parshas Toldos who says something different, though. He says, the mashmos is that because you put your tefillin at least on one of your upper arms, so that's considered a mokum megula. He says that that's something which is not because you're doing a davka l'shem mitzvah, but because it's considered a mokum megula. It's the part which is open. Mistomo, I don't know if that applies to the other upper arm as well, or whether it just applies to the arm that you normally put your tefillin on. But you know, nafka min, a person wearing a vest or something, and they touch their upper arm, would that stop them from then being able to make a bracha until they've washed their hands would depend on this. Brought down from the Chazon Ish that he was careful when he put his tefillin on not to touch his upper arm, but then just in case he did, he would actually wash his hands after having put his tefillin on, and only then afterwards put the straps around his hands. The Ben Ish Chai, it's considered the Mokum Megula because it's, yeah. The Mashmos of the Mishnah Berurah here is that above the elbows is going to be problematic unless you follow the Svara of the Salmas Chaim and the Minchas Yitzchok, who say that since you're doing a mitzvah, it's okay for the sake of doing a mitzvah, whereas but even there we said there is this Tovei Olav Bracha. Oh, so there, we'll get to Hilchas Tefillah. We'll speak about it more when we get to Hilchas Tefillah, Be'ezaz Hashem. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Chaf Beis. Emein lo yimayim, yekanach yodov bitzrayir o ba'ofa o b'chol midei demonaki, v'yavarech al nekiyus yodayim. V'yoyel litzfillah avaloy lehavirach rosh ha'aleim. So what's going on over here? Here, it's where a person definitely has ruach ro'ah. So an example would be a person woke up in the morning, and they, so they've woken up, so now they need to do Nagelwasser. They need to do Nagelwasser to get rid of the Ruach Ro'ah. Trouble is that it could be that some, they've stopped the water. Ever happened to you? Ever happened? Someone's doing some work on the street or in the house, and the water, the mains, has been stopped. And now you want to wash your hands. Now, if you had Netilas Yadayim water by your bed, then it wouldn't be a problem. But let's say a person did, and they don't have any water. So under such circumstances, what the Shulchan Aruch says is that you are allowed to just wipe your hands with a bitzroir, with some stone, so ba'ofar, or some dirt. Again, this isn't like dirty dirt, but this is sort of clean soil. Ibechol mered demanaki, on anything that will actually clean your hands. And then you make a bracha al nakiyus yodayim. So you haven't done a netila, but you can do al nakiyus yodayim, and that will help you that you're now able to daven, but it won't actually take the ruach ro'ah away. And you still have to deal with that ruach ro'ah when you get when you get hold of some water later. You still need to do a proper nagelwasser. But it would be sufficient in order to be able to daven just to clean your hands. And the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Nun Hey, Emein v'cholavim im yesh lo mayim, Tzorich litoil, afilu litfilas mincha va'arvis, afilu im eino yodea Lohen, shum lech loch. If you do have water, then certainly it's not sufficient just to say, oh, fine, I can just wipe my hands on a stone and I can just not do nagel vasa now, because you do have to wash your hands, and you're even going to have to wash your hands for davening, mincha, and mariv, even even if you're not aware that there is any dirt there, you're still supposed to wash. But of course, that when it comes to Mincha and Mariv, you would not make a bracha on it, certainly not on the Kiyos Yadayim, not even on the Tilis Yadayim, because that was only established for when one gets up in the morning. And if he doesn't have any water, some say that the same halacha will apply over here, as we've said, for the morning, where he should just wipe with whatever he can, in case there is anything that's not nice on them, or there's any shvitz. We'll speak further about halachas of washing before Mincha and Mariv when we get there, be'ez Hashem. So in our situation, though, the one that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't have any water, for negel vasa, nun vav yekanach yodov, wipe his hands, v'afilo hayom lochem bevadai, even if he knew they were actually dirty, he used the toilet and he wiped himself. Gam kein mahani, and as long as they're clean, as long as he's managed to get any dirt off, this will help to allow him to be able to daven. How far you have to go to actually get hold of water, we'll discuss. So he wakes up in the morning, he doesn't have the water, he should use nun sein ba'ofar, he should use some dirt. If he doesn't have anything wet, he can use a dry towel. So this person really should be doing nagel vasi. He doesn't have water for nagel vasi. He's just wiping his hands. So what he has to do is he has to do this wiping over the whole hand, the front and the back, all the way until the wrist, but the evid until at least the end of his fingers. But not like many people do. They would just do the ends of their fingers. That shouldn't be sufficient over here. So he's doing this. This is all he's not able to do. His proper nagel vas in the morning, so he should just wipe his hands. Nekiyas yodayim, the Shulchan Aruch says that you make the bracha. In this case, you can't make the bracha netilas yodayim, you do nekiyas yodayim. Yesh aimim degam bazeh, mevorachin al netilas yodayim, mekol mokum kol achwein ulei zozim epsaka Shulchan Aruch. There are those who say, you say al nekiyas yodayim, but al netilas yodayim, but he says that the achweinim hold like the Shulchan Aruch does over here, that in these circumstances, you'd say al netilas, al nekiyas yodayim, like the Shulchan Aruch says. Yes, as long as it's not as long as he's not in the middle of the Shema. L'chayr, if he's in the middle of the Shema, then Shemayna Esra, then he would continue like we saw before. L'chayr. Are you saying if he's made the bracha of It's a good shaila. On one leg, I'd say since this is coming in place of the water, so now that he's made that brocha, so then he should not make another brocha. That's what it would seem. But he made to look into it. Okay. Next. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So seemingly not. Okay, so Ramesh is making a good point that you still do need to get rid of the rachra, but we said earlier that to get rid of the rachra alone, they wouldn't be masakan a bracha. So seemingly not. Okay, next. Chaf gimel leitignu netilas yodayim el lekriyas shema v'lisfilo. Avol brachas de shachris yochal avarach kaidim netila. That this takono of netilas yodayim, which they were masakan, that we have to actually do netilas yodayim in the morning. That was only made for when a person is going to be doing the core part of davening, which is the shema and the tefillah. But the brachas of shachris, yochel avarach kodem netilah, the brachas of shachris he can make before he's done, before he's washed. Elohim kein hu yoshna mitosoi orum, unless he has slept on his bed that night without any clothes on, because then he would not be able to mention Hashem's name until he's actually washed his hands. Then you would have to do the proper washing of the hands, even just for the brachas. Let's see the Mishnah Brura in Nuntes, Kodim Natila, that he is allowed, even before Natilas Yodayim, he would be allowed to make Berichas Shacharis. The Stam Yodayim, Hainu She'enu Deyim Heim Luchlochim, Einu Psulis Levracha. Because if you had Stam Yodayim, that you're not aware that you touched anything that you shouldn't have done, that would not, that's called Stam Yodayim, then technically speaking, that would be sufficient to make a Bracha. V'chol Shkein L'divrei Teira, Time of Aruch and Alapairis, V'ein Tzoch Netilas Yodayim. They were never Masakan that you have to do Netilas Yodayim for this. So as long as you don't know that there's anything that is dirty on it, so then you would be allowed to make a bracha. However, if you went to bed Orum without any clothes on, presumably his hands were dirty, by touching places that are normally covered. Our pajamas, says the Chofetz Chaim, where the openings are, where the neckline is open. I feel him yoshim abushim mistom yodim mitunofus. Right, we have buttons to go up the front, and even if he slept in clothes, it's quite a good chance that he did touch part of his body that's normally covered. He darka lachachik b'guv b'mokum zeir, because it could be whilst he was sleeping. The derech is that he may have scratched himself at a place which is normally covered. And which is shvitzi. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch said if a person slept without any clothes on, so then they would have to make brachas, they would have to wash their hands, even for normal brachas. So he says, even if we do sleep in pajamas, if it's got an open neckline, a good chance that he has touched something dirty, and therefore he should still wash his hands even before brachas. V'davkim yoshin shinas keva, avol b'shinas are ein cheskosei shenoga, v'dinay, v'dinon kestam yodayim d'ksherim, l'tal m'tev l'vracha rak l'tfilo. So he says that this is only true if you've been in pajamas, yeah, and you've slept, or if he was even Orim and he slept a Shinas Keva. But if it was a Shinas Arai, just a little nap, then there is no chazoka that he's touched himself, and therefore it would be acceptable for learning and for brachas for him just to go straight ahead. But only for tefillah, if it was a Shinas Arai, still for tefillah he'd have to wash his hands. So very good. So he says we're choishish for both of them. So we're choishish for that. Yes. True. Yeah, it's a good point that he's certainly bringing that, focusing on that one right now. Yeah. Shianaka isom samachar pitzreis bechol midi demanaki. He has to for brachas. He just has to make sure his hands are clean with stones or anything that cleans them. V'adin l'teira also b'leinikoyin. If a person's learning, if they've scratched their head beforehand, or they've touched their shoes beforehand, or they've cut their nails beforehand, all the things we mentioned earlier, then you can't just go and learn teira. He has to make sure that he's washed his hands. For I'm b'prima godim shkasa afilim yeshtei mayim mekol makam dai lebrachas l'teira b'nekoyin ba'alma. That the Prima Godim says that if he is going to be making brachas or learning Torah, even if he does have water, you don't actually have to wash your hands. It's enough if you just wipe them. Nikoyim ba'alma, just wipe them on. So seemingly the Gros says, and this is a very lenient shitta, and says that the only time you need water at all is to get rid of those cases we mentioned earlier that have ruach ra, b'shari tshuva b'shem azeh, kosev lev rach b'lina tilas yodayim, v'olach m'b'yesh doyimai, v'ayin l'komon b'simen samach b'esiv, kotan ches mishna bura. So he comes out that even though technically, even if a person scratched their head, they could just rub their hands and then learn Torah, or then make brachas. But he says if there is water available, certainly you should use this water. These halachas that we've done, so we've sort of, it's very, very difficult because we've just done 23 halachas, 23 se'ifim on Netilas Yodayim Shacharis, but we haven't actually done the full shleimus because this is complemented by the halachas of Netilas Yodayim for Tzfila. But at least we've seen sort of the opening of these halachas and appreciated the importance of Negel Vasa when a person does wake up. And certainly, he says it's roi lahachmir to try after doing any of the things that we mentioned before and certainly touching the mekomos mechusim to ideally be washing hands with water before we actually make a bracha and learn Torah. I want to move on to the next siman, kavonas habrachas. I just want to share an amazing thing with you. So yechaven b'brachas perish hamilas. So he says when you're davening, you have to really have kavona. What do the words mean? Kishayaske Hashem yechaven perish kriyosay ba'adnas shu adayin akoyel v'yechaven b'chzivosay b'yud hey shahoya hayvaviyaya. So the Shulchan Aruch comes out here and says something which is more machmir than the Vilna Gaon, which we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah. That the Shulchan Aruch says, every time you say Hashem's name, you have to think that he is the Adoyin Koyel, which is the way the Shem Aleph and Dalet Nun Yud, he's the master, he's the boss. And as well as that, you have to think the way that it's written, a Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey, which alludes that he was, is, and will be, and that he's eternal. And I have heard Rav Yitzchok Berkovitz say that you have some Sidurim, particularly Sfadi Sidurim, where it actually, for each time it says Hashem's name, it sort of mentions these things. He says that it doesn't really mean you have to be thinking this each time you mention Hashem's name, but that your kavono, your understanding when you say Hashem, if you say your mother's name, so you'll think of your mother, yeah? And you know that she's your mother. Here you say Hashem's name, you think of Hashem, and this is the definition of Hashem. But he says you don't actually have to have these kavonos every time you mention Hashem's name. We'll see that when you say it, the first bracha of the Shema, that's going to be more machmir. We'll discuss that shortly. The Vilna Gaon says you just have to have kavona that he's the boss, adnus, and you don't have to think of hoya hoya v'yeh yet. We'll discuss further. When mentioning the name Elohim, you should have kavona that he is all powerful, he's strong, and he is in charge of all of the koiches, all of the powers in the world. We'll see more Mishnah Berurah tomorrow. I just want to share an amazing thing with you that. We're mentioning the name over here of Adnus and Havoya. So I mentioned over Yom Tov that it says Harei Mesmatcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Kriyas Yom Tov, Harei Mesmatcha, lift your hand on the Teyas Yodcha and lift up your staff, stretch out your hand Al Hayom on the sea of Bukoehu and split it. So Rav Shamshon Ostropolia, who is a big mekubal, he says that Hashem split the sea using the name Adnus and the name Havoya. Hashem used the name of Aleph, Dalet, and Nun, and Yud, and a Yud, and a Hey, and a Vav, and a Hey to split the sea. That's what the mekubalim say. Rav Shamshon Ostropolia says, Haremes Matcho, lift up Matcho. If you take the word Matcho, Mem, Tes, Chof, and you lift it up, the letters higher than Mem, and Tes, and Chof are Nun, and Yud, and Lamed. Yeah, Nun and a Yud and a Lamed is 90. Harem es Matcho, lift up Matcho. Nun Yud Lamed. Unateyes Yodcho, and he says, take the word Yodcho and take the letters which are lower than Yodcho, right, which is Tes, and right, Yud Dalet Chof, Tes Gimel Yud, Tugi, yeah, that you take the letters that are lower than Yodcho, which is Tes and Gimel Yud, right, which is 22, yeah. And Al Hayom, take the word Yom and go Al, the letters Yud and Mem, which is Kaf and Nun, which is 50. Yeah? So you lift up the letters above Matacho, below Yodacho, and the ones on top of Yom, and it comes to 182. Over Ko'ehu, and split it, and you get 91, which is the gematria of Aleph and Dalet and Nun and Yud, and Yud and Hey and Vov and Hey, the gematria of Hashem's two names. Is if you take this cheshbon of Ka'ei, you split it, so then you see the Shemus of Hashem that were used to split the sea. We'll continue tomorrow night with the Kavon of the Brachas, and Asher Yotze L'Kayin Shoma Be'ez Hashem.